As we gather here today with Helen on holiday, the message is brought to us by Falani, who is now preacher in training at Shotgate Baptist Church. I have been blessed by the message while preparing for this service and hope that you will be blessed too. So let us bring this service before God in prayer. Father, as we gather in these difficult circumstances, many of us alone, but here with loved ones and friends before your throne, bless us. Lord, let us come before you with willing hearts to worship your holy name, with joyful spirits to adore you and look in awe upon your creation. Open our eyes and our ears to see and hear your message today. In the name of Jesus, I pray this. Amen.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's worship service. Thank you for making time and participating in the best way you can with these services. I pray that God may use these services as a source of blessings and as a point of divine encounter for everyone who follows and participates in them. I'm reminded of many passages of scripture that emphasize the now moment or the today moment. Phrases such as Jesus saying, "Today salvation has come to this house," or when scripture says, "Today or now is the day of your salvation. Today, when you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts," and so on. Throughout scripture, there is often this sense that God's grace and his visitation requires to be acknowledged and embraced and responded to on a now basis or on a today basis. And so it's my prayer, it's our prayer and our invitation to you today that as we proceed with this worship service, we may have a divine encounter with God on the now, that we may encounter and respond to his grace on this today moment, and that we will take advantage of this time. The first two songs will be "Morning Has Broken," followed by "Jesus, What a Beautiful Name."
Morning has broken like the first morning, blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing fresh from the world. Sweet the rain, sunlit from heaven, like the first dewfall on the first grass. Praise for the sweetness of the wet garden, sprung in completeness where his feet pass. Mine is the sun. Is a morning born of the one light, Eden so plain. Praise with elation, praise every morning, God's recreation of the new day.
Jesus, what a beautiful name, Son of God, Son of Man, Lamb that was slain. Joy and peace, strength and hope, grace that blows all fear away. Jesus, what a beautiful name.
Thank you, Sue, for leading us in those songs. We continue with the theme, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray, where we are reflecting on the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. And our running text is Matthew 6, verses 5 to 15. We read this passage in full at the beginning of this series last week, and so we won't be necessarily reading it out in full all the time in the service, but we'll be extracting some portions from it and reflecting on these. And the main part of this passage that most people may well be familiar with is verses 9 to 13, which is popularly known as the Lord's Prayer. Most people will have committed it to memory and able to recite it by heart, which is great because this is a very rich and profound passage of Scripture that we can learn a lot from, we can draw a lot from it. And so to accompany our passage, our running passage today, our additional reading today is John chapter 17, verse 1 to 5, which Jean is going to read for us. Jean is going to give us this reading, John chapter 17, verse 1 to 5. Over to you, Jean.
Hello, everyone. I hope you're all truly blessed, and I know you're highly favored. And I've got the pleasure of reading this week, and I'm reading from John chapter 17, verses 1 to 5. That's the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verses 1 to 5. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. Amen.
Thank you, Jean, for the reading. The Gospels record Jesus praying on a number of occasions throughout his life and his ministry. And of his prayers, there are these two occasions where his prayers are recorded in significant length and in detail. These are the Lord's Prayer, as we call it, and here in John chapter 17, where we are reading today, which is our reading for today. The two prayers have certain similarities and they mirror each other in many ways, not least their openings and how they begin. Today we are reflecting on that opening of these prayers, particularly the opening of the Lord's Prayer. In Matthew chapter 6, after teaching about the condition of the heart and mind to be adopted in prayer, which we covered last week, Jesus then gave them the words to the prayer. He said in verse 9, Matthew 6, verse 9, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. This far, God had not been often referred to as Father. There were instances in the Old Testament where God was referred to as a father to his people, a father to his nation, but that was not a standard address. That wasn't the norm. But here Jesus seems to lay this as the foundation of this prayer, and indeed the foundation of all prayer, a basis for the whole prayer and the whole prayer experience. He sets this as the starting point of prayer, as the blocks, you know, straight off the blocks. It's as if he's setting out the trajectory and the tone of prayer, the lane in which prayer runs, as it were, to say that when we pray, we are talking to our Father. Jesus would have used Abba as the term for Father, Abba, which translates more like dad or daddy, which implies a rather personal and a close, intimate relationship, where God is not far out of reach, but near and attentive to the prayer. And this is the beauty and the joy of prayer. It is the privilege and the liberty of prayer, that we are talking to our Father. But this joy and this privilege is not without responsibility, like any privilege. Because that relationship has to exist. That father-son, that father-daughter relationship has to exist for the prayer to be meaningful. God is creator and sustainer of all. He is God of all and over all. And in that sense, we are all under God. Every one of us, every human being, all humanity, all creation even, is under God. It's God's creation. But there is that additional movement which adds the Father dimension to that relationship. This is demonstrated in that opening line, our Father who is in heaven. In other words, our Father who is God. In heaven is God. Our Father who is in heaven. Our Father who is God. Or God who is our Father at the same time. And of those two relationships, one of being God as well as the other of being Father, the one of being God does not require any action from us. He is God all by himself, if you like. He created everything and everyone, and he sustains everything and everyone as God of all and as God to all. But the other aspect of that relationship, that of God being the Father, God being our Father, is more nuanced than that. There is something of a small print to it, or the, as we call it, the T's and C's to it. In today's language, we would say the T's and C's to it, terms and conditions. And that small print, those terms and conditions, as it were, are found in John chapter 1, verse 9 to 12, which talks about Jesus. And it says, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his, but his own did not receive him. Verse 12, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. This passage brings up those two relationships again. It starts by the light that gives light to everyone in the world. That's to say, God of everyone and everything. But it then goes on to say that to those who received and believed in him, he gave them the right to that second dimension of that relationship, the childship dimension, which means that to be a child of God requires that believing in Jesus and receiving Jesus. That is the nuance, that is the terms and conditions, the T's and C's to being a child of God. We are all creatures of God, but only those who believe and receive him are children of God, according to scripture. And so Jesus seems to open the Lord's Prayer by putting that as a marker, as a basis for prayer, that for one to pray meaningfully, one has to have that two-strand relationship with God. To say God as God, as well as God as their Father. One has to have a conscious belief in Christ and receiving Christ. And only then does the whole praying experience mean something. Only then does prayer become meaningful. Our Father who is in heaven, or our Father who is also our God. That is the basis and the foundation of prayer. That is the starting point. Prayer is best prayed from a place of that relationship with God. It gives life and meaning. And once one is standing on that platform, even if he or she is unsure what to say or how to pray or what to pray, what words to speak, even what thoughts to think during prayer. But at the least, they are standing on a relationship. They have a relationship that exists. And so without that father-son or that father-daughter relationship with God, one is not even on the field. They are not in the park. They are out of play. But with that father-son, father-daughter relationship in place, then God listens not only to our prayers, as in the words that we speak, but also to the prayers of our hearts. Sometimes we don't articulate prayer, but we pray within our heart, we pray in our thoughts. God listens and is attentive to those. And so that takes away the pressure of worrying about what to say in prayer, or worrying about, will I say the right words? Will I say the right thing? And instead of worrying about all these, we then rely on the fact that God is our Father. God is our God, and He is our Father. And therefore, we can express our thoughts and our feelings, our wishes, our hopes, our thanks, our gratitude, and everything we experience. We can express these to God in any way we can, whether audibly or in silence. And we say, our Father in plural, which serves as a reminder that we are not doing this all on our own, but rather we are members of a larger body of believers. We are members of the family of faith, and we are not alone as we pray. These days it may feel that way. It may feel sometimes as if one is alone, is on their own. But we need to be reminded of this plurality, that we are members of a larger, a wider family. We are one of many who are praying to God. Whenever we feel isolated and dislocated, remember you are not alone. You are praying as one of a big family of faith, a big family of believers who are praying in different places. That is the depth and the reach of this expression, our Father who is in heaven, our Father who is also our God at the same time. To say, in order to pray effectively, one needs to be a child of God and have that relationship. Then prayer will be meaningful. We also notice that in that prayer in John 17, where we read today, as with almost all his prayers, Jesus addresses God as his Father. He emphasizes that father-son relationship right from the beginning of that passage that we are reading today. It says he looked toward heaven, or lifted his eyes to heaven, and opened his prayer with Father. And so there is that combination again, similar to Matthew chapter 6, mirroring that expression, our Father who is in heaven, from the Lord's Prayer. There is also another similarity with the Lord's Prayer, particularly in the theme of how both prayers begin. Remembering the Lord's Prayer begins, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. which has a striking similarity with this John 17 prayer, where Jesus begins his prayer by saying that the whole purpose and meaning is to glorify God, to glorify God's name. And so these verses 1 to 5 of John 17 are essentially an expanded version of hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name, or glorified be your name. And this essentially means let your name be treated as holy. Let your name be treated as infinitely precious. Let it be highly valued above all other things and over all values. This is praying to God to make himself known, to manifest and reveal himself on earth as the case is in heaven. This dimension of prayer features a lot in the Psalms as well, in the various Psalms, and it features in various forms, such as, Lord our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And many other Psalms with a similar prayer vein, with a similar line. And so this prayer, and indeed any prayer, acknowledges that ultimately the action of revealing God's character and personality, or demonstrating and revealing who he is the action that only God can do. Only God can reveal himself. And so in prayer, we acknowledge this. We acknowledge the sovereignty of God, which supersedes everything else. In our everyday language, when we talk about a person's name, as in her good name or his good name, we are referring to the essence and expression of their character, their personality and their esteem, how the person is esteemed by others, those who know the person. Like we sometimes hear people saying, if so-and-so agrees to it, or if so-and-so signs up for it, or if so-and-so is attending, then it adds credibility to the event, or it adds credibility to whatever one is dealing with. And that's because that so-and-so is a big and recognized name in that field, or a name with authority in that field. The same applies to many products, for example, which is why some names of products like cars, watches, computers, handbags, you name it, are more expensive than others. Some names are more expensive than others. A car is a car is a car. But some names, some cars, are multiple times more expensive than others. Why? This is because of the history and performance of the products, or of that name, most of the time. Although not always, but largely, it's the name has earned a certain credibility. And that's often the case. You may have noticed that in recent days we are hearing a lot about a particular science journal publication. It's not the only science publication available out there, but it looks like any scientific research or issue, or any treatments or trials, vaccines and tests and so on, if the work is published in that journal, in that publication, it earns a certain higher level of credibility, because that publication is a big trusted name in the world of science, in the world of research. So in that sense, a name conveys one's character, one's personality, one's reputation. And so to know God's name, or to talk about his name, or to pray about his name, is about dealing with the truth of God's personality and God's character. And so in prayer, there is also a sense of recognizing God for who he is, recognizing his holiness and his glory, and at the same time giving him honor for his wondrous works, for the works that he has done, which brings in even our own testimonies of what God has said and done in our lives, and we express gratitude and give thanks to God for these and glorify His name, because this is who He is. This is what He's done in our life, and we are grateful for it. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. This is the opening of the Lord's Prayer. Amen. Amen. And for our closing song today, Sue is leading us in Come On and Celebrate. Let's sing that song together and celebrate God's gift of love and gift of life to us through Christ Jesus. Over to you, Sue.
Come on and celebrate His gift of love. We will celebrate the Son of God who loved us and gave us life. We'll shout your praise, O King. You give us joy nothing else can bring. We'll give to you our offering in celebration praise. Come on and celebrate, celebrate, celebrate and sing. Celebrate and sing to the King. Come on and celebrate, celebrate, celebrate and sing. Celebrate and sing to the King. Come on and celebrate His gift of life. We will celebrate the Son of God who loved us and gave us life. We'll shout your praise, O King. You give us joy nothing else can bring. We'll give to you our offering in celebration praise. Come on and celebrate, celebrate, celebrate and sing. Celebrate and sing to the King. Come on and celebrate, celebrate, celebrate and sing. Celebrate and sing to the King.
Thank you, Philani. May God continue to bless your ministry. Now we come to God in prayer. Abba Father, Daddy God, as we think on all we have learned and what we must do, we thank you that you've given us the ability to come into a personal relationship with you. That as we bring our prayers of intercession, we know you hear us, not as a God distant and above, but as a brother close beside us, understanding our lives, interceding for us. So Lord, let us pray. We think of the world around, whose lives have been changed by COVID-19. For those who have lost their lives, we pray peace on the families and friends. For those who have suffered from the virus, we ask healing of body and mind. For those who are vulnerable and shielding, I ask peace as the world starts to reopen. And for all of us, I pray a swift respite from this virus. Come, Lord, and heal your world in body, mind, and spirit. We ask your gift of wisdom on the politicians and world leaders as they try to find resolutions to the problems of COVID-19 and resolve issues that are so difficult for us and for those we love. We ask your cover and protection on the various frontline staff as they serve and help those they are protecting at the risk of their own lives. Protect them and their families as they serve you. We ask your provision for those who are homeless during these troubles and are seeking refuge and provision for their families when sometimes even a loaf of bread is difficult to get. We ask your guidance for Christians showing your love from their homes and unsure how to share your love in a strange and difficult changing world. As we think of the world, we think also of the church, of the many brothers and sisters in Christ around the world who are persecuted for their beliefs. We ask your protection on them and the faith for us all to stand up and be counted when asked our faith and the wisdom and strength to fight oppression and injustice when we see it around us. We think of the church nearer to home, Lord, and of the decisions facing our own churches as plans and reopening of doors are made and how that opening will serve the community. Renew the spirit of our leaders, lift their hearts and bring your peace beyond measure to their lives as they serve both you and us. Lord, I pray for those on the hearts of our congregation, for those on this week's prayer list, and for those known to us that we want to pray for personally. I will now leave a minute to bring them to mind. I pray you touch them in their need, that you bless them with your healing, your comfort, your encouragement, and most of all, your peace. As we bring all these things before you and think upon the message we have heard and how we go forward from here into this coming week, we finish with the prayer as Jesus taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Be blessed.
Amen.